Welcome to the Bottom Up Revolution podcast. I'm Rachel, program director at Strong Towns. Today's guest is Latoya Wilson, who's based in New Jersey. She's a Strong Towns member, and her efforts are focused on workforce development, particularly in helping young people find vocations in science, technology, engineering, and math fields. I see her work being very aligned with Strong Towns' goals around supporting local businesses and encouraging a thriving local economy, which really has to start with getting people ready for jobs when they finish school. Brief note, we recorded this last year and I'm just now getting it out, so bear with me if we have some 2020 references in there. So I'll get to the interview in a second, but first, make sure to stick with this one to the end of the episode, because just like last week, we've got another big announcement to share with you as part of our Strong Towns Year of Action. And on that note, rewinding to last week's announcement, have you gotten your ticket for our upcoming Local Motive Tour yet? That kicks off in just a few weeks, and we've got a fantastic slate of topics and guest speakers. Alexander Hagler, who's an urban farmer and entrepreneur that was on the very first episode of this show, is speaking about building more resilient local food systems alongside yours truly in one of our tour stops. We've got Mike Lydon and Anthony Garcia, who are co-creators of the Tactical Urbanism Guides. They're going to be speaking alongside Chuck Marone about establishing a street design team. That's another one of the events in the tour. And then neighborhood activist Genevieve Barber, who's been a writer on our site and also on our former show, It's the Little Things, is going to speak alongside my colleague Daniel Harrigiz about building stronger neighborhoods. So much good stuff. Head to strongtowns.org/localmotive to get your ticket. All right, so here's my conversation with Latoya Wilson. So, Latoya Wilson, thanks for joining me on the Bottom Up Revolution podcast. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your neighborhood or your community?
Sure. For years, I used to serve as a liaison between community colleges and workforce development, between helping either students who are traditional college students or receiving some type of social services to get back into school so that way they can have better career opportunities. And, you know, I used to work as a career advisor, well, career and academic advisor. So I will also connect them to employers. And currently I teach political science and student success at Middlesex County College. And I am actually in the process of building up my own project.
Oh, cool. So what's that project?
Well, it's Wilson Career Readiness. And the purpose is twofold. The goal is to close the gap in earning powers and sophisticated careers, especially in STEM. So my goal is to build relationship between employers and establishment that work with underrepresented youth and young adults. So it could be K-12, CT, career technical education, I should call it, and, you know, other organizations that work with youth and young adults. And the goal is to increase the number of work-based learning opportunities, especially in, well, technically in STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. But, you know, STEM is definitely a biggest component because that's where the gap seems to persist. And my other type of work as well is to, you know, I'm trying to market industries to sponsor like community events in low income and working class neighborhoods. So like cultural projects, any type of wealth building workshops, cleanup efforts, green energy, and so forth.
Wow, you're doing a lot. That's super impressive. Let's talk a little bit about both of those things. What would be like an example of someone coming up through education and getting an opportunity to connect with like experience in the workplace or apprenticeships and things? Like, what's an example of someone kind of going through that process and being helped by you?
The issue is that, you know, you have many students who go through the traditional pipeline by, you know, completing their high school education and going into college, and sometimes don't have a lot of aware in terms of how to network, how to get into the career. So, you know, like for an example, even and as an adjunct, because I also do a lot of career readiness as well, you know, so I educate them on, you know, the difference between soft skills and hard skills, how to network. You know, I typically offer like a, you know, attending an online job fair so that way they could earn extra credit. So now what I'm looking at is, you know, because in the state of New Jersey, and I've talked about this before, how they're expanding career and technical education. So students are earning academic credits and learning on the job. You know, obviously what I see is that by building employer relationship with schools, students will have an opportunity of earning a certain amount of hours. So that way either they can get hired at the graduation or continue on in higher education and gain more skills, but, you know, they still can have that experience in the workplace. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. It's such an important part of like a strong, thriving local economy for everyone who lives there.
Yes.
So you also had mentioned on the Strong Towns community site, this was like a couple months ago, I think, that you are collaborating with policy and industry leaders to develop programs that will increase opportunities for underrepresented residents to purchase properties and homes and start businesses. Is that a project that you're still working on, connecting people with business opportunities and housing opportunities?
Yes, it's still in the works. One of the things that I've started with is, you know, monitoring any state legislation, which actually has been, which passed an assembly, which is promoting STEM for underrepresented and women. So, you know, that's part of my project. What I do personally, actually, is, you know, to support that bill and, you know, attempt to reach out to state senators who are sponsoring the bill in hopes of, you know, getting it to pass. So eventually what I'm trying to do is use that organization in hopes of assisting with increasing the number of career mentors, especially for STEM. And so in terms of economic development, you know, that's also in the works too. It's been a little bit difficult because of the COVID, you know, because like, for instance, I've been in planning board meetings. I'm a planning board member. But also, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, hopefully pretty soon we'll be sworn into the Workforce Development Board. But, you know, because of this COVID, it's been such a hard process. The good news is, you know, I've been reaching out to, you know, different organizations that are, you know, looking to get things started. But, you know, it's just a matter of hopefully, you know, speeding up that process. So I'm definitely confident more so now than I would say 3 or 4 months ago, but I don't know. Let's see how everything works out.
So let's also talk about what you mentioned at the start, kind of creating more space for opportunities in like neighborhood events and things. Can you tell me more about that effort?
You know, again, it's been a delay because of the COVID, but, you know, through my experience, even as a volunteer, you know, I recognize how events such as Restaurant Week has been a great impact on neighborhoods. What I'm trying to push forward is STEM employers, but business owners who especially come from those underrepresented communities to play a role in terms of sponsoring. Because I look at students, you know, part of the reasons why the gap persists because they probably feel that there's not a lot of people that look like them that are successful in businesses, but also sponsoring these events. Not to say it's not happening, but, you know, I guess the goal is to increase that representation. And also, you know, my experience attending meetings, you know, where they're trying to expand the number of businesses to increase jobs. So I'm trying to use that to also increase representation of, you know, those employers to push that effort. And, you know, another thing too is gap in, you know, property, home ownership, property ownership, you know, entrepreneurship. So, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, how do we incorporate wealth rather than just jobs?
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your city. Are you in Hamilton, New Jersey? Is that right?
I am in Hamilton Township. Yes.
Yeah. So what is that community like? You know, is it pretty diverse? Are people struggling economically? Is there like a balance or a divide?
Hamilton Township is a really large municipality, actually Mercer County, New Jersey. It's broken down into different communities. So, you know, you have certain parts that are, you know, the working class. You have certain parts that are, you know, middle, upper middle class. There's certain parts of communities which has slightly lower income. I say I've been living here for 5 years and I'm still studying the area. At the same time, there's also a lot of opportunity because of the location. You know, I live 7 minutes from the train station that takes you to either New York City or Philadelphia. It's definitely, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, relocating here. You still have a decent amount of people who's been here for 20 plus years. And then I'm not 100% sure the demographics, but as me and my husband who are new to this area, we still may be in the minority. I definitely want to confirm that.
It seems like for all the different projects and efforts that you're working on, that connections with leaders, with business owners, with students, like you have so many connections that you've built up in your life to make all these things possible. Is that right? Is that like a part of what makes all of your work?
Yeah, I mean, because I thought about this, right? I was like, you know what? The key is to build on what I have done for the past 12, 13 years, you know, and just build on it. I've never personally provided services in Hamilton Township. I've throughout with different community colleges. I used to work for Cumberland County, Union County, and now I'm at Middlesex County. I don't know if you know those areas, but I live in Mercer County. Especially my time at Union County, you know, I used to build a lot of relationship with employers because obviously my job was to get them jobs. I still do, in a sense, where, you know, I talk to individuals who are architects. You know, I've talked to individuals who have been in manufacturing, you know, just to get a feel of, you know, what is it going to take to hire or take on young, I would say, maybe high school students who are in career technical education program or, you know, college students. So I still hold on to that because, you know, I think that employer and educational relationship is important. In terms of, you know, obviously career technical education is public school system. So I have like I'm limited in terms of, you know, what role I could play. But I, you know, one thing I try to do is I attend advisory meetings in my county. I'm able to talk to and network with employers who have pledged working with high school students. And I definitely see a lot of positive feedback. So
you touched on this a little bit, but yeah, just like tell me what it's been like trying to do all of this work during COVID. Are you at schools in person or are you at these meetings in person or is it all kind of having to happen virtually? What's that been like?
Everything is virtual. Everything pretty much. Like I told you, I teach virtually, but you know, any meetings, any workshops I try to attend, even like the, you know, one organization where they deal with economic development in the Northeast region, you know, everything has been online. The one advantage I will say is it's easier for me to attend these meetings because it's online, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so there were certain faces that I was able to build more of a connection compared to when these things were met in person. And sometimes I have a hard time traveling all the way to upstate New York to attend one meeting or, you know, somewhere in Bergen County, New Jersey. So it has an advantage, but it also has a few disadvantages.
Yeah, that makes sense. Have students that you're working with been able to still like keep, you know, connecting with employers or starting internships, if that's something they do? Or is that all kind of on hold until COVID is passed?
So right now, I'm not personally working with students in terms of that yet. You know, it's more like I'm building relationship with individuals that are working with students. You know, again, a lot of things has been put on hold because of COVID. So,
yeah. So before we close, I want to ask, what advice do you have for other people who might be trying to undertake some of the different things that you're working on, whether it's, you know, creating more like special events in neighborhoods or helping young people get connected with jobs or just getting more involved in their community in general. Do you have any advice for people trying to get that type of work started?
Oh, yeah, of course. I would say don't give up. You know, one thing I always tell myself is, you know, even if I'm worrying about reaching out to a certain individual, I always tell myself, you know what, they can always say yes or no, right? But you would never know unless you ask. But another advice I will also say is, even if we're on a hold now, it's always good to plan. And who knows, maybe this could be an opportunity to, I mean, because we're working from home, so maybe this could be an opportunity for the future workforce to adapt to a new normal, because you never know when this can happen again. Maybe it could be a great idea of, you know, having some of them sit in on an online meeting or to do some projects virtually. One project that I'm hoping to take on, you know, where there could be a possibility of students to maintain like some type of database spreadsheet, but they could do it from home. Just like we have to adapt, you know, maybe this could be a good opportunity for us to help students to adapt as well. But most importantly, do not give up.
Yeah, that's a great message. Well, LaToya, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Where can people go if they want to learn more about your work? You have a website for your company, right?
Yes, I do. It's called rebuildworkforce.com, and it's Wilson's Career Readiness Consultancy. And also, I have a LinkedIn account, and I also have a Facebook page, which is WCRC. So if you look for LaToya Wilson on the LinkedIn, you should be able to find me there. Please feel free to check out my website. I update it all the time, but I definitely have the latest information right now.
That's great. Yeah, we'll include those links in our podcast notes as well. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me and to share your story with our audience.
Thank you so much for having me again. And I'm so happy that I'm able to share my input to everyone.
I appreciated the chance to hear from LaToya, and I hope that you did too. This week's listener message comes from Strongtown's member Adam Trott, and it's short and sweet. He writes, "I absolutely loved the podcast with Carrie Westerbeck, BoPop founder. I think that group could be a great example of how to grow a grassroots Strongtown's inspired group in my city of Fredericksburg, Virginia. Thank you." And I'm going to shout out Adam's work managing that Facebook group of tons of advocates in his area. I think he's really building it up, and I'm excited to see where it goes from here. For everyone out there, we would love to hear from you too. Send me an email or record a voicemail and email it over to rachel@strongtowns.org. I missed you all over the holiday break, and it's great to get back in the swing of things and catch up with the work you're doing to make your communities stronger. On that note, here's the big announcement that I promised you. It is our Strongtowns Year of Action, and this week we just unveiled what we are calling the Strongtowns Action Lab. It's a space where you can search for resources, read success stories and case studies, and get help with the efforts you're undertaking to build a strong town where you live. You can submit questions, connect with fellow advocates in your region, and just find tons of resources. Visit actionlab.strongtowns.org to see it, or just click the Action Lab button at the top of our main website. The Action Lab is in its initial phase, so don't be deterred if you don't see a lot of content posted on a specific topic that you're interested in. We will be building it out considerably over the next few months. With that in mind, please share feedback with me or my colleagues about how the Action Lab is working for you. There are spaces to leave comments or to up or down vote basically everything that's posted on there. But I also really welcome your emails if you want to chat with me about a specific feature or just let me know how it's working. All of this is happening at actionlab.strongtowns.org. Please check it out. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thanks for being here. We will see you next week for another episode of the Bottom Up Revolution podcast.